Hi, friends. We greet you again today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to bring to you a message from God's eternal word. It always has been, as far as time and as man is concerned. It's the greatest record that we have any account of, the most reliable. God's word is reliable. And we want to talk today about a subject that many don't understand. And that is the subject of creation. Where did man come from? Have you ever had those thoughts? Where did I come from? Why am I here? Did God have an intended purpose for my life if there is a God? Let us notice in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. If you have a Bible, would you turn and let us read? This is God's account. The sixth day of creation. God had made the entire world, the fullness thereof, the birds, the bees, the fish of the sea, and all these things God created and said it was good and very good. And so God wanted something created after himself in his likeness that he could be especially proud of, and therefore he made man. Verses 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This is God's account. And certainly it's reliable because this book is a bestseller, always has been, always shall be, because it's God's eternal word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never. So this is God's account. He said, let us make man after our image and our likeness. Then we have the account that God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. It was called the Garden of Eden. And he said that you may take the ground and you may toil it, just dress it, is kind of a way of saying, I've given you everything, and all you have to do is just take care of what I have given you. And so there was no knowledge at that time of good or evil. But you see, God placed man in the garden, but he placed limitations and a commandment before him. Because you must remember, had God placed man upon this earth with no limitations, then he would not have had to answer to his creator. So God, his intended purpose for you and I, that we would honor and glorify him. So God wants us to look to him, and he wants to guide us. He wants to be the Lord of our lives. But we find, as God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, if of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone, and he made a helpmeet for him, which he taken the bone. If you know anything about the story of creation, from Adam's side, and he created woman. So all they were to do is to dress this beautiful garden. They had everything at their disposal. I can assume that man did not have to work or toil, but after he sinned against God, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. And therefore God said, now you'll earn your living by the sweat of your brow. And then we find the fall of man came in the picture, meaning that man was separated from God. There was an evil force, an evil being called Satan. The serpent, in the third chapter of Genesis, said the serpent was more subtle than any of the beast. It means that he was more beautiful, more cunning, and more enticing. And he came upon the scene of Adam and Eve and called in question. And he said, Are you sure? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, he put a question mark in the mind of Eve, put a doubt there. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you see, Satan, the serpent, the devil, began to say things that were not said by God. He called in question what God had really said. He never did deny the fact that there was a God, but he said, are you sure that God has said this? And therefore, the woman added to what God had said. He said, ye shall not eat of it, lest you die. She put the word, ye shall not touch it. God did not say anything about touching it. But you see, there's something about this tree that's still man's weakness today. The woman saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and to be desired to make one wise. And everything that you and I face today, you see, it's always pleasant, it's good to the eye, and something to be desired. As a child, I know toys that were shiny and beautiful, I had a desire for these toys. As I grew older, I had a desire for a bicycle. It was beautiful and desirable, but certainly we were taught better than to take somebody else's toys or to take someone else's bicycle, because that would be sinful, it would be stealing, and it would be wrong. And so today, things that we see, now today we have beautiful automobiles. We have other beautiful things that people desire to have. These things in themselves are not sinful. However, on the other hand, when we begin to covet or desire someone else's things, materials, or whatever, possessions, then, and we take those, then we become thieves. We begin to steal, and therefore this is displeasing to God. Well, God made limitations to mankind when he placed them in the garden and said, you can partake of every tree, but there's one in the midst. When you partake of this, ye shall surely die. Well, you see, it was to be desired. It was to make one wise, because you remember that Satan, the serpent, had spoke to Eve and said, God does know that when you partake of this, that your eyes will be open and you too will become as God. And therefore, this was an enticement. And that's the way sin is today. You know, we see in our country advertisements on TV and by radio and other things of communication. We see things that are very evil. And for instance, alcoholic beverages are always portrayed here in this country as being associated with good times, happy times. But the advertisers never take you down to the gutters where people are victims of alcohol, and therefore they become alcoholics. They destroy their lives. They destroy their families. They lose their jobs. They become uncontrollable as far as being able to be rational human beings, and this is what we call an alcoholic. Other things such as drugs today. You know, people are looking for a high. They're looking for something to make them happy, but they're getting high and happy on the wrong thing. This may, and the Bible does say that there is pleasure in sin for a season. You know, there's momentary satisfaction to drinking alcohol. There's perhaps a momentary high for taking drugs, but these things are very destructive in the end. And therefore, God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, all you have to do is dress it. But they disobeyed God and they sinned against God. And of course, they died. They did not die at that moment physically, but they died spiritually. They lost their relationship with their Maker, their Creator, and their God. And therefore, because of this one man's sin, we're told in the Bible, because of his sin, we're all made sinners. Adam is our forefather, and therefore he disobeyed God, became a sinner, and he was driven from the Garden of Eden. And now God wants to bring back man into relationship with himself. Now, God knew before the foundation of the world that Adam would sin, and therefore he made a provision for your sin and mine. And that provision was his only son, Jesus Christ. The Bible said he was chosen even before the foundation of the world. And so after a period of time, God let certain events transpire in this life. There was a record of man's wickedness coming before God, and they were continually wicked, and even his imagination was continually wicked all day long, just like it is today. It seems that man's thoughts and conversations are all wicked and sinful and rebellious against God, our Savior, our Lord, and our Creator. But God still loves you, and God loves fallen humanity. And he's made a way, he's made a provision. You do not go to an altar erected by men where there's an offer the fruits of your labor, your corn, your vegetables, the blood of your body, the sacrifice of your lives. You don't offer that as an atonement for your sin, but that sin debt has already been paid through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have an account that he was born nearly 2,000 years ago in a place called Bethlehem in a manger. He came to this earth in the form of flesh. And this, my friend, was foreordained. It was pre-planned even before the foundation of the world that God would send his son into the world to be the propitiation or the answer for man's sin. So today, we look to Jesus and live. Through and by faith, we come to God in repentance of our sin and beg and ask for the mercy of God to forgive our sin. And he does forgive sin because we have this witness in ourselves. When he hears and answers our prayer, he lifts the burden of condemnation from us and gives us peace in our heart. Would you bow with me today in a moment of prayer, and I'll pray for you, and God will hear and answer your prayer if you will trust him just now. Our Father and our God, I pray through Jesus Christ today, the Savior of the world, Father, for every person that's listening to my voice today, if they will humble themselves before you, Father, we know, God, that you will hear and answer their prayer, forgive their sin. He is the answer to our sin. He's our substitute. He died for us that we could go free. Now, Lord, please save, I pray today, and forgive sin. Give peace to that troubled heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.